It is good to be here today. It is good that you are here today. We are pleased to see you. If you are visitors, we want you to take the opportunity to come any and every time that you're in the area. And if you will, if you have not done so, please fill out a visitor's card. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to talk this morning about a healthy diet. Just a little over 3 months ago, I stood before the congregation and made a proclamation. That proclamation was that by the end of the calendar year 2013, that I would be down below 200 points. Pounds. I'll get it out in a minute. No, I'm not counting points. I'm not on Weight Watchers or anything like that. But I have, in that span of time, lost 17 pounds. I've had people to say to me, "Are you okay?" Well, I look a little different. Yes, I'm okay. I have not starved. I have spent a great deal of time exercising. But most importantly, I have decided to embark upon a healthy diet. It brings about good results. The only downside is I probably need to buy some more clothes. But we'll deal with that in time. Our text this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, which we find to say, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." In verse 2, he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul here was telling them that he was unable to feed them as he would have liked. They should have advanced so that he could feed them with meat and no longer with milk. The word of God is to the soul what food is for the body. If you stop and think about it, the young need a healthy diet to live and to grow so that they might become adults. The mature need a healthy diet to live and to function. All of the experts tell us that if we live on a healthy diet, we can expect to live better. Christians are to eat to live and live to eat. One of the slogans that is often said when people are contemplating losing weight, that you have to learn to eat to live and not to live to eat. But I'm submitting this morning that Christians are to eat to live and to live to eat. And I'll explain that as we go on with our discussion this morning. No food or improper food leads to sickness and death. When I think of this, I often think about the pictures that are shown when people are trying to elicit funds for those poor, starving people in Africa. They show those children with their bloated stomachs because they've not had any food, and their little arms and legs look like sticks because they've not had the proper food or they've had no food. This is true in the physical realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. We need a proper diet. God has provided for the feeding of the church. If you'll stop and think about it, there is a complete and proper diet found within the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we find a passage that is often used for many different things. But here I need to let you see what is being said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, regarding a healthy diet. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that's why we have the Word of God. But notice, the purpose for us having that word is that the man of God may be perfect or whole, truly furnished unto all good works. As I said earlier, an improper diet will cause us to grow improperly or to function improperly. When we have that which God has given us that we might be whole or perfect, He has given us that which will truly furnish us unto all good works. As we contemplate diet, a healthy diet in the church, we need to be mindful of those that are elders. The elders are to feed the flock, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now, that's not their only function. But an eldership ceases to be an eldership when they fail to handle this one basic function, which is given them of God, as they accept the responsibility of shepherding the flock. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall have a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Friends, this encompasses the basic function of an elder. Now, I say an elder because each one individually are elders that are elders over a congregation, but it takes more than one. There has to be a plurality. And they are to feed the flock. Preachers, teachers are to feed the flock. We return once again to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It kind of reminds me of something my father-in-law said many years ago. He said, as goes the world, so goes the church. I thought, how ridiculous. But in contemplating this idea that preachers and teachers are to feed the flock, we see that that is a very true statement. As goes the world, so goes the church. The teachers and the preachers who have decided to teach to feed the flock with the unhealthy diet of the world has done the church a great disservice. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And somebody might say, wait a minute, wasn't Paul teaching these people? Are you saying that he was incapable or improperly teaching them? No, absolutely not. The church are to be people who are wanting to be fed. I remember, as you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, what I was always told as a child, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can make your child get on the school bus, and you can take whatever means necessary to make sure he gets off of that school bus at the schoolhouse, not at a stop in between. And then he goes into the doors of the schoolhouse, and he sits down in class, and you expect him to receive an education. Those of you who are teachers among us know that that's not always the case. The student has to be desirous, and the church also has to be desirous of a healthy diet. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is saying those who are desirous, those who are seeking, those who are hungry for the right kind of food will find it. And they won't stop looking until they do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, going along with this same point, we are to be desirous of the Word of God. He says there, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I remember as a child, one of my desires was to grow, to be big. Didn't quite make it. But I wanted to be 6 foot tall. I have no idea why. But I thought that was the standard. I need to be 6 foot tall. Looking around at my family, I should have known not much chance of that happening. So what did I do? I drank milk. I ate everything that didn't eat me. And I didn't grow to be 6 feet tall. But Peter is telling them here, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We should desire a healthy diet that we might grow. We should want to be like those of the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it tells us about them, how that they desired this food. They wanted to know the truth. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They weren't willing just to sit back and look at the label and say, let's see the nutrition that's in here. They said, no, we're going to go and look. We're going to search. We're going to search the scriptures daily. We're going to find out if the things that are being fed to us are the proper things. I want us to notice three things essential to a healthy diet as we discuss this subject this morning. First, it needs to be a wholesome diet. What do I mean by wholesome? Well, one that's proper, one that has the right nutrients. I was saddened to learn that pizza wasn't one of the major food groups. But there are too many churches today feeding on junk food. What do I mean by that? Why, some of them are even so far off as they're feeding on a perverted gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, we see what the apostle Paul, as he was guided by the Spirit, told them regarding those who would put forth a perverted gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel, the grace of Christ, into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice in verse 8 the admonition that is given, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before in verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than they have received, let him be accursed. Look at the question asked in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Those who get up and teach and preach and do so for the purpose of pleasing men possibly will pervert the gospel. Again, those who get up and teach and preach for the purpose of pleasing men will probably pervert the gospel. Paul said here, as guided by the Spirit, two times, if somebody does this, they are to be accursed. What do they offer? They offer human philosophies and traditions because it's been that way. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 gives us a warning about this. It begins by saying, beware. Usually when you see a sign that says beware, you want to look around. You want to see the dangers. You want to see what's going to hurt you, what's going to cause you to fall, what's going to cause you to trip. He tells them here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let me tell you where philosophy and these traditions come from. It comes from people thinking that they're smarter than God. Why, we don't need the diet that God gave us. We'll just add a little flavoring to taste. We'll make it like we want it. And so they start offering traditions. Jesus Christ had the same problem, the same situation in his day, in his time, under the law under which he lived. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, he pointed out what these people did. These people who were perverting the law under which they lived. He says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. When the commandments of men are taught, it is not a wholesome diet. People began to get to the point where they want to entertain. They want to provide social talks. And there's a place for entertainment. There's a place for social talks. There's a place for the type of encouragement that one receives, say, in a corporate outing. There's no I in team. That's one of the sayings that they put out for you. And that's true. But the pulpit's not the place for it. It's not the place to be entertaining. It's not the place for social talks. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we'll find out that the apostle Paul told Timothy what to teach, what to preach, and how to do it. He said to Timothy, I want you to entertain everybody. That's not what he said at all. If you've turned there, you'll see. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, do what? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Even when it's not convenient to do so. You know, there are so many people that have a job. Their job is to preach the word of God. And they're afraid that if they broach a hard subject or bring up a hard subject or point directly, definitively to the word and said, this is what it says, and upon this we will stand, that they'll lose their job. I want you to notice what Timothy was not told. He was not told to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and entertain. Now, I personally think that a good gospel sermon is quite entertaining. It's delicious. And it should be part of every Christian's healthy diet. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. The word sound is used here. It comes from the same word in which we get hygiene. Hygiene means the preservation of health. We want to preserve our spiritual health. The only way to do it is with sound doctrine. Elders are to use sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it is told to the elders that they must use sound doctrine and how they are to use it. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. How in the world are you going to be able to ward off the darts of the wicked, the false teaching that would creep in, if you don't use sound doctrine? Preachers and teachers are to use sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Not the things that will become sound doctrine, but those things that are sound doctrine, which people can identify as sound doctrine, because they can go to the word and they can say, that is what the Bible teaches. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, Paul is writing to this young preacher. It's near the end of Paul's life. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. Look at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He was writing this to Timothy because he and Timothy were not together. But when they were together and Timothy had the opportunity to hear Paul preach, what did he hear Paul preach? Sound doctrine. Paul provided for those that would listen a healthy diet. Christians are to endure sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we'll see that the Apostle Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy. He was warning him that there was going to be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you know that that's why many congregations exist today? Because people will not endure sound doctrine. They'll get mad at something that was said and they'll go over and start their church over there. And I said that just the way I wanted to say it. Because when they go and start a church, that's what they've done. They've started their church. The only way to be faithful and be part of the church that Jesus died for, having been obedient, is to continue to preach sound doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But notice what they will do. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell me something that makes me feel good. Christians are to have a diet of Scripture. In Acts chapter 17, we'll see what the Apostle Paul provided as he went around teaching and preaching. Notice it tells that this was not just an isolated incident. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. In other words, He reasoned with them and says, this is what the scripture says. Let me show you. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 28, we'll see what the result of that was. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was providing for them a wholesome diet. We also need to understand that we have to have a balanced diet, not just a wholesome diet. One of the best ways to lose 17 pounds in 3 months, well, you've got to exercise a little bit, but cut out carbs, no bread, no cakes, well, every once in a while. But cut out carbs. But you find out before too long that your body requires a certain amount of carbs. It's not just because you sit up late watching a movie on Lifetime TV that you're tired. You don't have anything to burn. We've got to have a balanced diet. What is a balanced diet? Well, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, it's the whole counsel of God. We can't go through the buffet line of the scriptures and pick out the ones we like. I read an interesting article in one of the bulletins I received via email, and it talks about the buffet line. Nothing wrong with the buffet. You get to pick and choose what you want. But friends, God's word does not work that way. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, Paul was speaking here, and he says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, he gave them everything, the whole counsel of God. In verse 27, as he concludes, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What about the parts that hurt? Well, you got those too. What about the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts or the sweet peas that I don't like? They're good for you. It doesn't hurt you to eat them. And if you're going to have a balanced diet, you have to take some things that you really would rather leave out. Paul preached the positive and the negative. A lot of times preachers are condemned because, well, he's just too negative. I've had that said about me, if you can believe it. He's downright contentious. Well, I want to submit today that the scriptures are contentious. Jesus Christ was a very contentious individual. Now, he didn't set out to be. He didn't come just to cause problems, but there was contention because of Jesus. You know why? Because he preached the positive and he also preached the negative. A preacher today that preaches all negative has no business in the pulpit. A preacher today who preaches all positive has no business in the pulpit. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 and 13 says that we must have milk and meat. You have to have both. You have to have some of the good stuff and some of the tough stuff. He says to them, and remember, this is not a commendation to them, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. In other words, they had had their time with milk. They should be taking in meat. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You didn't learn the first time. You didn't grow the first time. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Those animals that were born on the farm that just didn't grow, we had a name for them. They're called a runt. It was usually the one that nobody wanted. Couldn't sell it at the market. You couldn't give it away. Nobody wanted it. Often, they met an untimely demise. We don't want to be runts when it comes to Christianity because we don't have a balanced diet. We need to use the Old and the New Testament. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we need to use both the Old and the New. I've had people say to me, well, we really don't need to study the Old Testament. That was back under the old law. Well, I submit to you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John run under the old law also. If not, why not? The church didn't begin to Acts chapter 2. However, the scriptures tell us that they were written for our benefit. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Do you not know that in the Garden of Eden that Christ was prophesied? The hope of mankind was prophesied in the Garden of Eden. I'm kind of glad it was there. I'm kind of glad that I read it. But we can't just have a wholesome diet and just a balanced diet, but we must also have a regular diet. What do I mean by regular diet? Well, I don't just cut out carbs on Monday and then eat what I want Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I tried that before. It don't work. We've got to have a regular diet. It's got to be a wholesome diet. It's got to be a balanced diet. But it's got to be something that is regular. I even tried exercising one day a month for a while. That didn't work too well either. The same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual being. We need regular teaching. We need preaching. We need study. We need regular assemblies. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Well, I suspect the most important day that we could ever name, from the time we arrived on earth until the time we leave, is the coming of the Lord. Now, we may very well leave the earth before He comes back. But if we've not had a wholesome and balanced and regular diet, we might not be prepared for the time when He does come. It needs to be regular. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 tells us, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, I'm going to stop right there. Someone has recently asked me why we don't worship on Saturday. I said, because the Bible says upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, they gave us an example. They provided for us the understanding that upon the first day of the week we come together. Well, why do you come together upon the first day of the week? To break bread. Oh, that's when the preacher preaches. No. We come together to remember the death of our Lord and Savior. And then we participate in that wholesome, balanced, and regular diet. Paul preached and then ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until midnight. I love that part. We recently had to adjust the clock as the time went back and I adjusted it the wrong way or something. And so somebody had to readjust it. And I told him it really doesn't matter because I don't look at it. I'm not going to preach until midnight, but just a few minutes past 12. But we need to understand that this regular diet consists of not just coming together with the saints. There are daily opportunities whereby we might partake of this wholesome, balanced diet, and thereby doing it regularly. Notice in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. One of the most influential things that has ever been said to me was, we won't be here tomorrow night. We're going to church. Why don't you come with us? Opportunities abound. We've already talked about Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, those Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind, but what else did they do with it? They searched the scriptures daily. Whether these things were so. They wanted that wholesome, balanced, regular diet. Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He put forth a lot of effort, and not everybody listened. in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We find word from the Old Testament showing us that this healthy diet has always been part of God's plan for man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He wants that wholesome, balanced, and regular diet. Regular feeding is essential to a healthy diet, but it's not the only factor. You know, moms can plan for 3 healthy meals a day, and the family still may not have a healthy diet. Some family members skip meals. Some family members are picky eaters. I remember several instances when I decided I didn't particularly care for what was put on the table, and my dinner time lasted a lot longer than everybody else's because I was told, you go sit there until you finish it. And eventually I got the hint, and I ate those sweet peas. I didn't think they were very sweet. But it was a healthy meal. It was provided for me. I couldn't be a picky eater. Now, I'll guarantee you I got all the stuff I wanted first and I ate it copious amounts. But you can't leave the table until you finish all of this healthy meal. Good elders, preachers, and teachers plan healthy meals. They provide the proper food for the congregation. You know, it's a fact that members show up for about a third or less of the services. It's a shame. Some members' minds are elsewhere when they do show up. I actually had someone say to me, well, you might have to look over and tell me to wake up. Now, she's been awake the whole time, taking notes. Many try fulfilling their feeding needs on other things. Perhaps a high school course, a college course, perhaps whatever situation that exists on the job. It's not healthy. It would be like eating the same thing every meal, every day, just because that's what I like. The leadership should be careful to offer a healthy diet. What about congregations that don't have elders? Well, it's up to the men. It is their responsibility before God and before the people with which they serve to provide a healthy diet. And the membership should be careful to receive a healthy diet. You know, it's interesting. As a child, you eat what's put before you. But as an adult, you can say, I'm not eating that anymore. Same thing's true when it comes to what is being put forth from the pulpit. You can say, I'm not eating that anymore. But you've got to have conviction. You have to be willing to be called contentious. You have to be willing to stand up and say, I want a healthy diet. Well, there's one thing that's true. Before you can eat, you have to be born. You know, the same thing is true spiritually. The Bible teaches us that for a person to become a child of God, they must hear the word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher that's providing a good healthy diet is going to make sure that people hear that word. The Bible teaches also that for a person to become a child of God, they must believe. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Having heard and believed, a person should be willing to repent. That's what the Bible teaches that we are to do. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The next step is to confess. But what are we to confess? Not our sins. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But read the next verse. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then we are to be baptized into Christ. This is when we're born. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. by the authority of Jesus Christ. And then we're to remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part of it which reads, "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, we're all intelligent people. We don't have to be told that what this is also saying is, be not faithful unto death, and you won't get a crown of life. This is how a person is born. But what if, like so many of us, we have decided, for whatever reason, to abandon our healthy diet, at least for a little while, enjoy the fruits of the world? Well, if we've done that, having become a child of God, we've separated ourselves from God. And God has provided. He says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, "To those who have been children of God and who have allowed sin to come between them and thereby separate them from God, condemning themselves, he says, 'Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee.'" I don't know where you're going to go out to eat today. Doesn't really matter. I don't know what kind of diet that you're on, or if you're on one. Physically, in the great scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. But today, I want to ask you, what kind of diet have you been on spiritually? Do you realize the need to make a change? To make yourself aligned to that which God has said? If you've never become a child of God, that's exactly what you need to do. If you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to come between you and God, you are separated. Correct your diet today. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.